And
no.
And so she said, "Will you just take a few minutes at the beginning and ask people to share with each other their parenting hacks?" Like she shared stuff that her and Steve have done. But if you have things that, as she was talking, jogged your memory, like something that you think is, you know, has worked for you or hasn't worked, that you're like, "Yeah, this didn't work for us. Don't try it." She said, "Share your parenting hacks." So,
oh boy.
What do you guys got? Anything?
We were preparing our list of problems and issues.
Yes, I know, I know. Well, that's what I told her. I said, when she asked me to do this, I'm like, man, I am so not qualified to do this for parents. I cannot. I called Aaron and I said, "Aaron, you have to come so you can like tell them how I have no authority to have this class because she has seen me with my children in my worst of times, so she knows." But I was flattered that Dolores asked, and I hope something that I say tonight might help, and if not, sorry. But anyway, do y'all have any parenting hacks y'all want to share? Anything that you've done?
If anybody wants like hundreds of dollars worth of small stickers and charts, I can have them. It lasted for about 3 or 4 days in my house, so just so you know, it works great for about the 3 or 4 days that you have like the endurance to do so. If anybody wants them, they're more than welcome.
Is this
for a bunch of tiny stars and a bunch of tiny smiley faces?
Was this an attempt to like do a behavior chart, like a reward chart?
Behavior reward charts, which for my oldest one, so Ben is like totally he's one of the everybody's ADHD now, but he's like, he's not a hyperactive. Easygoing kid, but he's just a complete lack of focus, and he's always thinking about like astronomy and how to solve like life problems. And
he's the inattentive type.
Very
attentive to his own ideas.
His own ideas are fabulous. But anyway, so we were trying to get him on track, and then I have my Chloe. Anybody who's met Chloe knows that Chloe is like she's like this, and she's a type A, like high performer. Highly skilled, so her chart was littered with stickers. So she earned like $50, a couple of ice cream, or something like that, in about a week's time. Ben got about $2, and Simon was spotty at best. But we tried this thing, but it was really for Ben's behavior, and it just turned out that if you have three really different kids, it's probably not a thing for you. But I have a bunch of charts from. You know, Lakeshore Learning Store, and then really great stickers.
Oh, right. We'll bring those up and we'll donate them to the child care workers. Maybe they can find a use for them.
Just short-lived.
Well, and that we'll get, actually that, I'm glad you shared that because that's something we're going to touch on later is finding your kid's currency. And so that was not his currency. That didn't appeal to him.
Not even a little bit. In fact, he was like, "You know what, Mom?" And for even allowance, he was like, "You know what, Mom? Here's the thing. Pretty sure I'm not gonna hit the bar for my allowance. Why don't you just go ahead and keep it for?"
Oh my word!
Yeah. Like, not even
money was my only currency. Well, thank you for sharing because that's true, and you're right. Every single kid's different, and every single family's different. I know stickers are hard to keep up with because then you have to do a lot of the work. Anything where you're doing most of the work is usually not gonna
sustain itself.
Yeah, it's not gonna. Be able to do that. Anybody else want to share something they're doing?
I yell at my kids sometimes.
Great, yes.
Great parenting hack.
We'll all try it.
Yes. We'll go home and try it.
All right. You sure? Anybody else? Hi.
What are we sharing?
Oh, Dolores shared parenting hacks last week from the Raider family, and she wanted us to take a few moments because we ran out of time last week. If y'all have parenting hacks you want to share with everyone that might be helpful or that has worked or not worked. And so they were sharing that sticker charts didn't work in their family, in the Carlson household.
Not in the Carlson household, especially with three different parenting.
Any other parenting hacks?
Well, my kids babysit each other. And, you know, we were having the problem where this is really, I don't know if it's a hack, but it's a bribe. And it worked really well. But we would constantly be getting like FaceTimes while we don't go on dates very often at all, but when we did. And so I said, once a week, I'll take them to like Baskin Robbins or a yogurt shop. And I up it to twice if nobody tattles on each other or complains about each other.
Oh, so how are you going to know what's going on if they don't tattle?
I don't care.
Exactly. Who cares?
So if somebody does, misbehave,
if there's gonna be
then they're going to be reported, and then nobody gets ice cream. Or if they complain about each other, nobody gets ice cream. Or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just like, but it, they resolve it amongst themselves. It's just always like, so we just up it to twice a week, and it seems to.
And it's worked so far.
That brings up a good point. Sometimes if one of my kids is being particularly defiant, I'll tell them that I'm going to offer the other child ice cream, and we're going to eat it in front of them. And we actually do that.
Michael, you and I are so right here. Is that not your, that's like right on my book. That's totally something I would do. You'll see that in the I love it. All right.
The other day with Alexander, we were going through animals. What does an elephant sound like? What does a lion sound like? I said, what sound does daddy make? No.
Oh, no. What sound does mommy make? I love you.
Aww. Yeah. Well, hey, it's a good temperature check, right? It's like, okay. Now I know what that.
Now he'll, like, admit, because he hasn't figured out the teacher probably shouldn't say that he's, like, strategizing which parent he'll ask something. So I'm like, well, if you want to do that, you go ask daddy. I don't want to ask daddy. Daddy said, no, I'm going to ask you, mommy.
that's not how
it works, but thanks for being honest.
No, that's a really good point. We're going to talk about that, too. So that's good. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I think most people that are coming are here. I think most of you know me, but I'll introduce myself since Dolores is homesick. My name's Kelly Barsh. I work at the church part-time. If you don't know what I do around here, I have an office downstairs right in between the nursery, right at the bottom of the stairs, and I do all the hiring and scheduling and checking payroll and sometimes firing of child care workers, not often, but it has to be done sometimes, and so I get that fun job, and then I also do the play days parent liaison section. So if you don't know, we have kind of a pseudo Mother's Day out. We're not a licensed program. We're only 2 days a week, but it's basically a really lovely babysitting on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And most of the people that come to that actually are not church members. It's mostly people who live in the community or work in the community that utilize us. And so I also work with Carol Williams, and I handle all the parent communication for that program, and of course the monitoring of all the child care worker stuff. So I do that part-time, and then I also am currently working for Nyhaus Education Center. It is off Bissonnette. I do literacy coaching, so I work with teachers through a grant. Right now I'm working with HISD teachers. I have about 19 on my caseload at a school, and I'm there all day today. So I go in, they get trained by Nyhaus, and then I go in and I coach them and give them support and make sure that they can implement successfully, model lessons, give feedback. It's really fun. It's my favorite thing to do. And then through Nyhaus, I'm also a dyslexia therapist in training, and so I currently have one student. I'm about to pick up a second that I do on the side as well. So added a third job to that, that list. But it's all stuff I love. I don't want to give anything up, so I love it all. But as Dolores said, I was a school teacher. I taught pre-K for several years, and then I became an assistant principal. And saw that side of it. I did not particularly enjoy administration, so when the time came to be a principal, I decided to have a baby and get out. Thus, there is Evan, and so this is my husband, Kyle. This is on Christmas Eve, and I'm not in the picture, but photo credit Lauren Raymer Goodman, because I work at the church, so I was working during Christmas Eve, but she grabbed that nice picture for me, because we haven't had professional pictures in 3 years or 4 years, so they weren't the same age, but this is Evan and Eileen, and this is their personalities, which make it very hard, as I'm sure for you with all your different kids, the different personalities. So picture day is in the middle where they look nice and innocent, and then Evan is eating chocolate that I told him he was not allowed to have, and then proceeded to be very proud of the fact that he did it anyway, and so that was a fun car ride home. Not my best parenting moment that day. And then this is Eileen. Yes, that is a peignoir nightgown set because my daughter has been wearing fancy nightgowns since way too young, and she still does. So that is her clip-on earrings and stole my sunglasses, and she asked, take my picture. So that's my life with her. She's my girly girl. Just to get started, Dolores had asked me, she goes, can you just give like parenting hacks for challenging behaviors? Like, what are some things like parents, you know, your kids tantrum, or even as they get older in elementary, like when they're really acting horribly and we're losing our temper and we're yelling, and, you know, what are some things that you utilize? And so I again said, I'm not sure I'm qualified to do this because it's very easy to do the teacher training side. Like, I do tons of teacher in-services and child care worker training on how to handle other people's kids, and that is so much easier than doing it to your own kids. Your own kids do not listen to you like other people's kids. And so just to be totally transparent, on the left, that's Eileen at 3 years old, and she has written Evan for sale, and that's not a fake pout. That was very much an angry face. If you'll notice below that, she wrote Dad, Mom with an X through it, no, and I taped it to her bedroom door, like, do not come in, do not talk to me, I hate you all. This was at 3. And we still get lovely notes to this day all over our house about how we're offending her. And this was one of probably the worst parenting days of my life. You'll see Eileen is crying on the stairs, and there's Evan. I want to say he's 2, so she'd be 5, I guess. And I remember taking those pictures because I needed to remind myself what a horrible job I did that day of just losing my mind. And I was like, okay, next time I'm going to ground myself, give myself some grace. So anyway, all of this to say, hopefully your house is as chaotic as mine so we can be in this together and not alone. But this is kind of a picture. And just because those are from several years ago, this is from last month, so it hasn't gotten better. We're in a beautiful Christmas tree farm, cutting down our Christmas tree like pioneers, and Evan is throwing us in here. And yes, I had to go take a picture because, and I actually hid behind a tree to get that, because if I got too close to him, he would scream even louder, because I was like, he knows I take pictures when they throw fits. It's kind of like showing the ice cream cone, like they don't want people to see them, and I'm like, oh no, if you're going to act like this, I'm keeping this forever, like wedding photos. And then Eileen, if you see hers, this was October, and Eileen writes, I am so unlucky, go away. I am mad/sad. I get to have no fun. Sick child bored in here. Beware, you will be showered in tears. And then Tiny, she wrote, and then over there on the side it says, I could use a hug here. So it's like, I hate you, get out, but come in on me. It didn't get better, so going from when they were little, and then, yeah, that was a month ago. So nothing has changed. It's not any easier for me now than it was before. But humor does help, and hopefully some of these things might match up with the personality of your child, because I will say, like Amy said, personality is key. You are not going to have anything that works with every child, and I know that you know that. But even it's so hard when you have multiple children to figure out really how to personalize the way that you parent and discipline and mold these challenging behaviors, because it really does change depending on how they interact and the size of your family. So one thing I wanted to start with is that I tell teachers this all the time, and I'm sorry, but I have to keep going from, like, you're not teachers, you're parents. And this is my first parent training. I usually do the professional side where it's not their own children, so they are required by law to do this stuff. But I always say this to my children that I teach, and then also to my staff here at church, is that fair is not the same. Fair is giving every person what they need. And so if you're giving Ben one way to do something and Chloe a different way, and they're like, well, that's not fair. We teach very early on, fair is not the same, because what you need is not what your brother needs. It's not what I need is not what Dad needs. And in the classroom, it's what Kinley needs is not what Jonah needs. So we always talk about that. So when kids say that's not fair, we just nip that in the bud. And it's also good for us to remember, too, as adults, when we're giving out those punishments, fair is not the same. So, like, and I say that more not from a, because I do that, Michael, where if you don't do this, we're going to have a treat and we're going to, rub it in your face. You know, I'm totally on board with that. But I love that. But as far as, like, when you're having to think about, like, okay, the currency for Eileen is not the same as the currency for Evan. So, like, right now, he is obsessed with tablets. It's a problem. I'm recognizing it's a problem. So that is the very first thing he loses, and it's, I get that. Eileen could care less about her tablet, so, like, that isn't even on her chart for something she loses. And so those are the kind of things, just keep it in your mind, fair is not the same. So these are stock photos, because I didn't have time to go through all of my Shutterfly pictures to find my own children doing this, but I do have those pictures. But this is kind of what Dolores had asked me to kind of talk about, is in the challenging mode, not just everyday, like, disrespect, but, like, really, like, what do you do when your kids, and I these are kind of toddlers, but I put some elementary kids in, because it doesn't really get easier, and even teenagers do this, just handle it in a different way. But I want to just start out with, there are kind of like five facts that we all kind of need to remember when we're dealing with kids' challenging behavior, is that all behavior is a form of communication. And if you kind of reframe your mind that when they are doing this, they're not doing it to you. It's not personal. It feels personal when they're saying, I hate you or something, but it's not personal. They are communicating something. And so if you think of it in that way, and that's kind of how we do in a classroom, is we try to think of it for more of a clinical thing. Okay, why are they doing this? And we're going to analyze that behavior. And in the moment at home, when you're trying to cook dinner, that's a little bit harder to do. You just want them to all shut up, so you say that, shut up, you know. But, and that, and you're human, and that's going to happen. But then how do we walk back from that? So all behavior is a form of communication. You know, infants cry, toddlers bite, elementary kids have a tantrum, teenagers are rolling their eyes at you, adults give the look. You know, we all have this nonverbal communication, and it all comes from somewhere. And there's always a reason for the problem behavior. And we know that, but we're thinking, you have no reason to be upset right now. You have everything you need. You are fed. You are clothed. You have toys. You have a room. But it doesn't matter. Like, they don't know to be grateful in that moment when they're upset, but they are communicating something. There's a reason. And if we can just learn to kind of read our kids' cues, we can sometimes close the gap on how long that challenging behavior lasts, because we can start picking up on what the problem could be a little bit sooner. And also that there can be multiple reasons behind any of those behaviors. So, you know, from, and I don't even mean babies, I mean even elementary kids, hungry, tired, scared, wet, bored, you know, all, name the gamut of reasons why they could be acting out that has nothing to do with what they're actually saying to you. And then just knowledge that you can really learn to understand and interpret their behavior. That's something that you actually can do with strategic opportunities, like when you're in the middle of a tantrum, I mean, you know, when they're in the challenging behavior, having an opportunity to just kind of step back, like start cueing yourself, like, the louder they get, the quieter I'm going to get. Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me of that Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high. I kind of think of that in volume terms, like, when they get loud, I need to go quiet. Now, am I successful with that? I'm going to keep saying no. And Erin left for choir, so I can, she's not going to give me my side eye in the back, like, I've seen you yell at your kids. We know, I do, but I just try to remember that. And especially when I am in mid-yell, I can even stop in mid-yell and be like, you know what? I'm going to go to a timeout. I will see you later. And I will leave the room and kind of center myself. Even in mid-yell, like, they know, like, we all make mistakes. And we talk about that, like, that is not how I want to handle your behavior, is to scream at you, but I make mistakes too. Like, and I need a better way to handle that, but I need you to also have some responsibility in this. So we talk that through. But it's important to find that meaning in their behavior, but it's equally important to be aware of why we are reacting that way. We all come from different families and different backgrounds, and I know for me personally, Kyle and I were raised very differently. Right or wrong, I mean, we just both handle things very differently based on the way our parents raised us. And so that's something that we both talk about a lot, is being very self-aware. Why did we just do that to the kids when they misbehaved? Why did he handle it that way and I handled it this way? And And what do I need him to do differently to feel supported, and the vice versa? So I come from a household that was very scary and lots of yelling and fear, intimidation type of thing. Whereas Kyle came from the, you know, not a lot of yelling per se, but like the, you know, through the gritted teeth, like, I'm a Southern Belle, but I'm telling you, you're sitting down and I'm going to get your butt when you get home, you know, that kind of thing. So he tends to do that gritting through his teeth, like intimidation that way, whereas I'm like, you know, yelling, screaming, throwing things, whatever. You know, that's my like natural tendency. So I'm constantly fighting how I was raised and truly wanting to do things differently. That was something, and I'm sure that's everybody. Even if you had lovely parents who did everything right, there was something you didn't like that they did. And you're probably all trying to not do that with your own kids. And that's human nature. And so just being aware of why you do the things you do will help you be more in tune with figuring out why they're doing the things you do. It's really hard for me to tell Eileen to stop screaming at her brother when that's exactly what I do to her when she acts the same way. So it's that modeling. And being very self-aware to be able to, like, acknowledge that to her. Like, oh, I wouldn't be in a very good model there. I'm going to rewind that. But that doesn't mean it's okay. Like, but I'm going to work on me, and I need you to work on you. So just having those kind of adult conversations with you. I mean, and I've been having those conversations with her since she was 2. It's probably why I get all these lovely notes that are so well written. But anyway, so just knowing that how you react comes from something. And then that truly challenge behavior can truly be reduced with support and not punishment. Not to say that they don't need discipline and they don't need consequences, but just knowing that if the goal is for them to react to a situation without meltdowns or anger or screaming at their sibling or hitting their sibling or hitting you or throwing a tantrum in a public place, if the goal is to change that behavior, they are not going to do that just from you grounding them or taking away their tablet. That does not work. And I'm sure you found that it doesn't work. I can take Evan's tablet away and it makes him do that. But tomorrow he's going to do the same thing, you know, because I didn't teach him what the replacement behavior was. So if I want him to know I was angry at you and you got grounded from your tablet because you did this, if I don't teach him what to do instead of that, then this is always going to be his default. And so that's kind of where that comes in, is that I don't want you to hear me say that I don't believe kids need discipline and consequences, like they absolutely do. But what goes with that? What goes with the consequence? What goes with the discipline? And it's the follow-up that none of us have time for. It's the follow-up that we're tired, it's the end of the night, go to your room, or you're yelling at them before they get on the school bus to start their day at school, and by the time they get home, you've all forgotten about it. It's making a conscious effort to follow up after the punishment or after the meltdown or after your own meltdown and coming back and making sure you take that time to address what happened. And that's where the change takes place. That's where you really start, and not just in the kids but in yourself, you really start to form good habits when you have that follow-up conversation. So, preaching to the choir here. I know the right answers, but I keep telling you I struggle with my own kids because I really want you to hear that I'm not sitting up here saying that I do everything right, because that's absolutely not true. But I know what to do, and I try my best to get there. I think of this as kind of like an emotional roller coaster when we were talking about working in industries where, and I hate to be gender stereotypical, but in an industry like mine where I'm managing, I had like 80-something women staff members, very, very different from an environment, lots of emotional roller coaster, lots of things I dealt with as an administrator that I never thought I would, that had nothing to do with teaching or kids or anything. It was all relationships between the workers. And I think kids are kind of like that. Like, you're going to deal with a lot of things that you didn't think you'd have to deal with, because, like, why are we talking about this? This should not be the conversation. And so thinking that through and being prepared for it is half the battle. Like, expect the emotional roller coaster, expect the meltdown, and kind of anticipate, and what can we put steps in to do that. So I want to talk about some things that we can strive for with dealing with challenging behaviors in our kid. And I just realized I numbered the slides on my notes, and I didn't number them here, so I don't even know what slide I'm on. Let's see. Okay, emotions. So these were kind of some stock pictures I put, because that's probably the point where you're losing your temper. when they get to this point, you're to that point inside as well, even if you're trying to be calm. I did not make y'all a handout because I find that I like reading a handout, but then it goes in the trash and I never have the link. I like something I can click and look at. So at the end of this, I'll tell Dolores here all the sources I used, and if parents want them or if we can put them somewhere y'all can access, y'all can do that. But I had some an article called How to Deal with Tantrums in Public Without Feeling Like a Fool. And I thought, oh, I need to read that one because that's exactly how I feel when I'm about to kill my kids in the middle of Walmart or something. She talks about tips to prevent tantrums and tips to cool down a situation. And then, like, kind of put it in when things get too hot to handle. So, of course, there's things you can do on the front end to try to prevent tantruming or prevent ugly behavior in a restaurant or in a store. But this is kind of where it's past that point. Like, they're already in mid-tantrum, as we saw here. Like, what do you do when they're already there? And I think the big thing for us to remember is, and it's easier said than done, is the calmer you appear on the outside, you always are worried about how people are judging you. Like, what are people thinking? I'm so embarrassed. If you don't get up right now, I'm going to kill you. Like, stop embarrassing me. But really, everybody that has kids knows all of our kids have done that at some point. And we've really got to take the shame out of parenting our kids in that moment. And I say that, I haven't successfully done that yet, but I strive for that. So when they are having that meltdown in public or being really rude to me in a restaurant or talking back in front of y'all downstairs or something, and I'm like, I'm going to hit you. Like, when they turn around, you're getting it, you know? So we still try to try, but really it's about kind of thinking of everybody, even strangers, as a community and trying to really pull yourself out of the shame game, because the more shameful you feel, the more mad you're going to get at them, and then you aren't able to get to the root of why this is happening or how even to get out of it in the moment. So pretend you're at home. When you're in the middle of a store and they're doing it, just pretend you're at home. If you were at home, you probably would ignore them or go into the room or send them to their room. You'd get away from the situation until they were calm. And you kind of have to pretend like that when you're in public. You just need to kind of pretend you're at home, kind of block everyone out. Excuse me. Block everyone out and just try to focus on the kid and just try to remain calm. Because really, the calmer you are, one, everybody else that's watching this is saying, wow, how is she staying so calm? You know, they're pretty impressed at that point. Not that it matters what they think. But don't you try. I put yeah right in my notes because I'm saying this, but like, I don't think I've ever done this where I didn't care what people thought. But really, that's when you're the most calm. When you really can let go of the shame, you're able to calm down. And then this author wrote, relent at your peril. And I thought, that's so true. Because in the moment, you're mad and you want to stick your ground. But then the other thing, you really want to get out of that store. Or you really want to get through your meal without another thing. So you're like, okay, if you be quiet, I'll get you a cookie today. You know, you're like bribing and all of that. But if whatever they're having the tantrum on really was a deal breaker, really relent at your peril, because once you give in, and all of you know this, we've learned this as children, is that you give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And really, it's going to be that much harder to come back. And so I say that, but what I added to this article from a classroom perspective was, also, is that the hill you want to die on? So it's a balance. So you, if it's a deal breaker, you don't want to relent and give in to them if they're throwing a fit about something that is an established no, unacceptable behavior. But if it's not about something specific and it's just like, okay, we need to get from point A from point B, I really don't know why you're in a bad mood, you haven't even assessed, like, what are you yelling about, like, what is the problem, you know, if you're to that point, it really is that the hill you want to die on? If you have to bribe them, if you have to give in and like cuddle them or offer, you know, if you have to kind of be the bigger person literally in that situation, that's okay too. So it's more of a balance of, again, being aware of where this is coming from. If you have no idea where the tantrum's coming from and you're thinking they're just being a brat, they're just being a spoiled brat, or they're just acting crazy, that's when you know, okay, maybe so, but if I'm not at home, if I'm at church, or I'm at a restaurant, or I'm somewhere where I can't, you know, be comfortable with this behavior, then don't let it be the hill you die on. You know, compromise with them, talk to them calmly. Again, the louder they get, the quieter you get. And sometimes you just have to let them do it. You know, if you're late for work, like I have been at some point, and I just have to walk away. You know, we got to go. Like, we can't have the whole talk right now. So we're just going to go on, we're going to move, and then we'll catch this back after work. But If you can, in the moment, let them have the meltdown. If you're in a restaurant, scoop them up, take them outside, and it ruins your meal, I guess. But you're gonna, you know, you're gonna go out there and compromise, and then come back in. But it's one of those things where there's no right answer. But don't give yourself permission to know when that is. Like, don't break one of your deal breakers, but also don't dig your heels in, I guess is the best way to say that. Don't dig your heels in if it's not something, if you don't even know why you're digging your heels in, and I think that happens to all of us. And then, of course, this is like the mantra of everyone, is respond calmly. Easier said than done. But the one thing you can do that is think about, I have never actually done yoga. I'm very scared of doing it in public in front of other people. I would love to do it at my home by myself. It's one of my goals, but I'm just nervous to do that kind of thing in a group setting. But yoga has used all over the place with kids. Like, that is one of our first go-tos, is for teachers literally to do yoga poses with kids. And it just, the research is out the wazoo on how effective it is. And so one of the things that you can do is the breathing. There's a lot of breathing that goes into that. And so I just try to remember, especially in public, like when I am feeling myself about to flip my lid, I breathe. I just try to breathe, or I'll squeeze. Sometimes I squeeze my kids' hands, and Eileen knows to just grin and bear it. Evan will go, "You're hurting my hand." And I'm like, "You're hurting. I'm hurting your hand to get you to stop." So, you know, again, kids' different personalities. Eileen's smart enough to know, like, I need to stop doing this because she's hurting me. That's a clue. And Evan's like, "You're hurting me." Like, people are wanting to call CPS or something. But oh, that child. But anyway, but those are some like public kind of tips. Things to avoid in public, because it doesn't help, is less is more. Try to use as few words as possible. You are not going to talk them off the ledge in Target or HEB when you're trying to get things done. You're just not going to do it. So you have to ignore a lot. You're going to less is more. You say as few words as possible. You want to use your parent look. You know, use the, you know, they can tell. They can read body language too. You can be serious and you can like, not playing, on and just keep going. Not doing that right now. And so less is more. Give space when possible. We just talked about that. If you can, if you're in a place where you can just walk away, or even like if you're not in a rush, like I just get on my phone and start checking email. Or I'll scoop him up and 6 years old and I'll put him in the car and just start walking away. Like I just, you know, I try to, in that moment, if I can control myself, calm and give them space to have the tantrum. And then we talked about this, adding fuel to the fire. Sometimes we cause the behavior as much as the kid does because we get such a power trip out of, I'm the adult, you're the child, I said to do this, and you're going to do it, and they're throwing a tantrum, and now you're in a power struggle. You will never win. You think you're going to win, but even if you do come out on top, you've both lost because at that point you're exhausted, there's a fracture. There's going to have to be an even bigger talk about, okay, how do we handle that? And that is not how I want you to learn how to handle disagreements with people. That's not how I want you to handle it with your friends you disagree with. It's not how I want you to learn as you grow up to handle disagreements with other adults. And so, again, try not to have a power struggle. One of the things, not quite done with this. I want to give you a little bit more. There's a website called Coping Skills for Kids. It's by a therapist. Her name's Janine Halloran. And she had written an article called How to Help Your Angry Child. And there's another website from PBS. And they have, PBS just has wonderful parent resources. And they have an article called 9 Ways to Reduce Challenging Behavior. And I just really love both of those. I've learned a lot from them. And we've talked about this. Get yourself calm first. So like, when they start acting crazy, and it doesn't matter, and I don't mean just public tantrums. I mean you've asked them to do something, and they throw a fit, or they yell at you, or they talk back to you. It doesn't have to, like, Eileen doesn't really throw tantrums as much anymore, but she will give me the attitude that makes me want to smack her way worse than a tantrum, like, when she uses her smart mouth. So I have to remember that moment to do these things, just like I would with Evan if he was doing things like that. So I love when they said this. Be the thermostat, not the thermometer. So when you think about it, a thermometer fluctuates depending on the effects that something gives it. So like if you have a fever, it gets hotter. If you don't, it goes down. Don't be the thermometer. Don't let your emotions go up and down based on the situation. You be the thermostat. You set the tone. And so I thought that was such a good analogy, because like you think about it, and we let our kids make us angry. Like we, I always tell the kids, nobody can make you mad. You can, you choose to be mad at that. You don't have to be mad. You choose it. And then I say that, and then the next minute I'm telling them, you made me so mad. So like, how, I've got to give them a consistent message, and I don't. So we have to talk about that a lot. Like, you're right. You did not make me mad. I chose to be mad at you for that. However, you know, how can I frame that in a different way? So how do we be the thermostat? And so they had given these tips, and I love these, y'all. I love these so much because I'm kind of cheesy like this. But I even, you have the notes in your phone. So, and it helps a lot with public stuff, but at home too. So they gave these self-talk things, kind of like, you know, the Smalley from Saturday Night Live, like, I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, people love me. Yeah, the deep thoughts with Jack Candy. And they're kind of like that, but it's like these little mantra things you can tell yourself, okay, in your head, like you're saying this, like, they're having a hard time, they're not giving me a hard time. Share my calm, not their, don't join their chaos. Share my calm with them, I'm not going to join their chaos. I am in charge of staying calm, no matter how my child is behaving. So again, this is like giving yourselves little pep talks in the moment. All feelings are okay. What they're doing, truly, all feelings are okay. We've taught them this, right? So we can't be mad at them when they're angry, because angry is an okay emotion. My job is to help them manage it, right? And so as they're going through that, you can. Those are just some things you can have in your wheelhouse. And then assess the situation. You know, what's, we talked about this, what's the desired outcome? What's the means to the end? Don't dig your heels in, that kind of thing. These are some, I'm looking at the clock, I need to hurry. These are some breathing techniques that I found on that Coping Skills website. And do y'all know Allie Madison? She goes to our church. She's a LCSW, a licensed clinical social worker. Before she was licensed, she volunteered at Play Days to get some hours and taught our child care workers all of these wonderful coping techniques. And one of them was the breathing. So these are things you print, and the kids actually put their finger on the shape, and it tells them what to do. So if, like in the star, it tells you, you put your finger on the hold, and you go breathe in, hold, breathe out. And they do that until they finish the star. And then they have a square one, they have the lazy eight one, and the triangle breathing one. And these are really phenomenal for kids and for you. And all this is downloaded for free. There's a author named Miriam Gates, and she's written all the yoga books, Good Night Yoga for kids. This one's called Breathe With Me, and it literally, it takes the kids through breathing techniques, and I highly recommend. We love these books. These are some calm down activities. So these are, again, things you can do and the kids can do. One of them is just quickly saying the alphabet and numbers together. So this is like if you have little ones. If you have like 2, 3, 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds maybe, they're getting really upset, you can just get calm and just say, I'd love it if you said the alphabet mean. I'm just going to start. A, B, C, D. And they can still be screaming. But if you're looking like a crazy person just chatting that alphabet, they'll just start joining you. They can't help themselves. They just, they're like, I know the alphabet, I'm going to say it with you. And then just counting the numbers. So that's a little, and you could just have the alphabet, I'm sure you have alphabets all over your house, but you can even have something like that. For older kids, well, little ones all the way through older ones, any kind of, and we use this so much in school with kids with special needs and even just behavior issues, is any sort of sensory object. So squeeze balls, stress balls, are you angry? Use this. And so I'm not going to be mad at you for being angry right now, but you've got to do something to help yourself. So let me teach you. Oddly enough, sipping cold water, giving them really cold water to drink is a good calm down. Counting by sevens, which is very difficult for me. I cannot count by sevens. So I would have to print that chart out. But counting by sevens is, and this is for older kids a lot. So if you have kids in elementary, junior high, because they have to really think, like, okay, if, even if they know their multiplications, like you're counting up. So that's a good one. And then just counting down, like the grounding, you're just like, and it doesn't have to be talking. You just put the hands up and you slowly go down. You just breathe. And then offering cuddles and books, even though you're mad at them and maybe they did something really horribly that they need punishment for, even in that moment, just saying, you know, you seem really angry right now. Do you need a hug? Even if you don't want to hug them, like, you need a hug, you know? And sometimes even that would just shock their system enough, like, whoa, I was expecting you to spank me, you know, and you're offering me a hug. So, in, or offering them books or reading the books or grabbing like a Miriam Gates book, like a Calm Down book, and just start reading it whether they want to join you or not. So, and finding just a soft spot. Oh, I guess I took out that slide. There it is. Finding a soft spot. So if you have beanbag chairs or just even having a place in your house that's considered like a calm down place, it doesn't have to be not fun. It just needs to be a safe place. It's not a punishment place. It's more like, hey, you look like you need a break right now. You can go there. And I go to the calm down. Like, I like to visit the place. And you can't talk to me when I'm there. I'm calming down. Like, I need to calm down. But the inside out characters are really great to help kids name their emotions. And even if you just had pictures or play figurines, they've got bubbles, swish balls, that kind of thing. But going back up, these are all of Allie's ideas she shared with us that were really, really great. The How's Your Engine is, you can see a kid version of it on the paper plate. They colored it. It's the idea that when we run red, it means you have lots of energy that is hard to control. Maybe you're mad or whatever, but you cannot control your emotions, so you are red. What are some things you can do to get you out of the red place and get you to green, which is just right? Blue is low energy, so this is where I'm really sad. You may have a kid who's not angry, but maybe they just cry all the time. Maybe they're sad all the time or lethargic or just kind of depressed. How do you get them out of the blue and into the green? And so when we're red, we do some of these things. So the mustache is called Magic Mustache. So it's when you're frustrated or angry and you calm, you just put your finger, and me and Dolores do this all the time. We do this all the time at our family ministry meetings when we're like frustrated when we can't figure something out. Like, Magic Mustache time. And you just wiggle your finger, put a lot of pressure on that little bone and just wiggle it for like 10 seconds or just put pressure and you just calm down. It's amazing. It works. Like, if you're frustrated at work, try it. Magic Mustache. Be in your office at work and try your Magic Mustache. The engine thing, again, it's just a visual for kids to get there. So Magic Mustache is one way to get from red to green. Sensory bottles are a great way to get from blue to green. And she made homemade ones, and you can Google that. Goodnight yoga is another one. And these are the calm down yoga strategies for kids. And these all are downloadable. When we're in blue and you want the kids to like have more energy or like bring up their spirits if they're depressed, dancing, jumping jacks, playing outside with them, singing songs, all of those are fun. Wall pushes. You can have them go and just push as hard as they can. It's like, just push on that wall, try to move it. And they can't. They get exhausted, but it releases all of this pressure out of their body. And again, all of these things can be used by adults, too, in stressful situations. So wall pushes are great. You just push that wall as hard as you can. We talked about the bean bags. I'm going to go through this just real quick. I know we have like 1 minute. These are ABC charts. I don't think you can read them, but basically this is like if you have a child that you think actually might have something more than just regular kid stuff, like you think, like I'm a big believer in therapy for everyone. I think everyone at birth should have to pick a pediatrician and a family therapist, and we all need mental health checks as often as our body. Like, that is my soapbox. But this is something we use in school, but I think I always ask parents to fill one out at home when they're worried about a certain behavior, want to change, even if it's not a big thing. Like this one, the behavior for the mom was picking his nose. It drove her nuts. Her kid picked his nose. And so she started tracking, like, when does he pick his nose? When he's sitting on the couch watching TV, the behavior was picking his nose. The consequence was mom says, William, stop that. And the function, and you try to figure out what is the function. And she said, attention, but could be sensory. Maybe there's a feeling that he gets from that. And so she started tracking that behavior. So it could be something as silly as just a behavior you want to change, not a tantrum or a bad behavior. This is more of a classroom. It says the teacher, the behavior was he sweeps his folder and pencil onto the floor. He bangs himself in the head with his fist at the lunch table. Well, when we started watching when he's doing that, what happened just prior to that? Well, the teacher placed James's folder on his desk. And so what was the consequence? Well, what they figured out is that the classroom aide puts James in the timeout corner, and then he escapes doing his work. So they figured out what really was happening is he wanted to get in trouble because the work itself was frustrating him. So by really analyzing that, they figured that out, and then they could address the real problem. So what happens when you start looking at what happened right before the behavior, what is it, what is the consequence, and then you talk about the function. You try to figure out what is the child getting out of it. And it may not be a conscious function. The child may not understand to be able to tell you, well, yeah, I'm doing that because of this, but you're going to figure that out. And once you start kind of tracking that, it's a little bit easier to do that. I'm not going to read this to you. This is something I downloaded. It's a quick checklist for parents to do with their kids. These are calming skills, and these are distraction skills. And so this is where you would sit with the kids and say, hey, let's talk about these. What are some things that really help you so that if we, so I can encourage you to do that? What are things we tried that didn't work? Cross them off the list. So this is just like tools and strategies. But you want to set the kids up for success. So here are some things you can do before the challenging behavior. If you notice, they're always, again, that antecedent behavior consequence chart. Give them choices when possible, if you think that could be it. So always try to give them choices, even if they're all choices you're happy with. You don't want to give them a choice you won't be okay with, because that's setting them up for failure. Give them expectations and give warnings when there's changes coming. A lot of kids have a lot of sensory issues you're not aware of. Clothing bothers them. You know, the tag is itching them, and they're freaking out, and it's only because the fabric is, like, driving them crazy or the noise. Be real aware of, like, if there's loud noises, warn them. Like, there might be a, we're going to be close to the airport. There might be loud noises or whatever. That's just an example. But be aware of triggers and discuss them if unavoidable. So, like, if you have a child who hates going to the grocery store, Evan Barsh, and I cannot do clickless for whatever reason. I have to do clickless. But if I have to go to the grocery store and he has to go with me, I warn him. I say, look, I'm aware that you get very angry going to the store with me. I don't like going to the store with you either. We're both in the same boat. I hate going to the store with you, actually, because you are so mean to me when we're in the grocery store. But guess what? We're going to go, so let's just figure out how to do this together. Let's talk about this. If we have to go, how can we make it to where we're both not angry? And, like, talk about that on the way. I give him a warning so he's not like, we pull and he's like, no! You know, so I try to give him to understand what we're doing. And then be prepared for problems. And you know this, when they're infants, you're so good at this. You have a diaper bag full of every possible thing that baby could cry about. But what happens is they stop being babies and we don't have a diaper bag and we stop thinking to do that. But it's just as important when, and sometimes more when they're in elementary school, to have kind of that diaper bag of, I don't know what's going on with this baby, they can't talk to me, so I'm going to have diapers and bottles and pacifiers. Well, sometimes even when they can talk, they don't know why they're like that either. So again, going back to these coping skills, distractions, you can have some of those tools in your car, in a bag, just close by. If you need to leave, please leave. I know I have more, but you can go if you need to. Real quick, this is about bedtime and morning time routines. I don't know about y'all, but mornings, we're not morning people, and we don't like mornings, and everybody hates each other in the mornings at my house. So one thing that we use, this is Evan's current morning schedule because he can read and he doesn't need pictures. This is an example of one for a child who maybe mom doesn't want to mess with a pen or anything. They've got Velcro. And it's a picture schedule. And you literally give your child a schedule on what they can expect to do and their responsibility. Because, like, Evan got to the point a few weeks ago where he was like, stop telling me to do that. And I'm like, then do it. If you don't want me to tell you to do it, then do it. And that's when I was like, what am I doing? I know exactly what he needs. He needs a schedule. So I jumped on my computer. Well, actually, that day I wrote it out in a Sharpie because I'm like, here, do it. He has never been so happy. And I haven't done one with him yet. I did one with Eileen when she was that age, but I'd forgotten about it. So this has been now around for a couple weeks, and it's been great. I don't say a word, and I don't even have a reward on there. Like, some people put a reward at the bottom. Like, if you do all this, you get this fun thing at the bottom. And that's fine to do. His reward is, I'm not talking to him. That's his reward. He doesn't have to hear my naggy, naggy voice. So that's his reward. But he loves to, he is just rolling with this. And you can put stock pictures. Some people take pictures of their kid actually doing the item. Like, brushing in the restroom, picture of them on the pot. Clothes and shoes, picture of their closet. He does an inhaler, so I guess you do an inhaler. Brush teeth, them brushing their teeth. So you can make it fun, or whatever your child needs. And these, I will tell you, these can be used as young as 2 years old. These are not big kid stuff. This is, like, little kids. Bedtime. This is my house. So, nobody wants to go to bed. So, again, picture schedules. You don't have to do words. Like, little kids, I'm telling you, your 2-year-old can follow this picture schedule. And they will love it. And all those stickers that Amy has, they're even better. Like, if Evan could put stickers on all this, he would use those stickers that Amy has to put them on his chart. I'm not doing the stickers. I don't care what he puts on that chart. But if your kid likes stickers, they could put a sticker over everything as they do it. If you don't want to have to print this and make papers all the time, make one copy, put it in a sheet protector, and let them use a dry erase marker, and they can just use the same one over and over again or laminate it. But this is the one we made for bedtime. And so it doesn't even say go to bed, but like when you get to the end, lights out. Like we're done. So those are just, this is a real fun one. This parent did really great because they have money. I love this. I've never thought of mommy is in charge Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. Oh. Daddy is Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday. So I don't know why mom has four, but
she's the mom.
But I thought this was great. I was like, how harsh. We are totally going to start assigning days. I like this. And I love how they have the Bible in there. Like, it's just, I mean, this was a beautiful one. I found that one just Google images. Here's one for your older kids. Like, if you have kids third, fourth, fifth grade, this is an after-school schedule. And again, you don't have to create this. If they're old enough to write, like, Eileen would be offended if I created hers because, like, that's her wheelhouse. She wants to do this. So she has, this one has snack, homework, TV for half an hour, set the table, eat dinner, computer time half an hour, pajamas, teeth, read a story, go to bed. And this is just kind of bigger. But these are great for elementary school kids. And then, just so you'll know, like, I have used the same picture schedule in my four-year-old Sunday school class. I don't know. I've been doing that, I think, 13 years now. And I've never changed the pictures. But it's something calming to my kids about they know what to expect when they come into Sunday school. So they know when they walk in, they're going to get to play. And if we have a craft, we'll do crafts and playtime. When we come to the carpet, we're going to sing first. We're going to do our offering. We're going to have a Bible story. And then they get to eat their snack. Because here's what you get sick of at home. When are we doing this? Can I have this? Da-da-da-da. When is this? Da-da-da. Nothing drives me battier than that. Because I'm like, I'm not going to repeat myself. So when the four-year-olds come in, I just say, check the schedule. That's all I say. And you can do this at home. Check your schedule. When are we going to eat? Check your schedule. When are we going to do sack up? Check your schedule. So, like, I would rather say check your schedule and make them independent. And they stop asking you because they know what you're going to say. And I don't even have to say it. I can just point to the schedule. So, just to show you it's not all bad, these are some of the lovely things Eileen has put around our house lately when she wasn't angry. Tenderness and kindness are not signs of weakness and despair. This is from that book, Wonder. She, like, got inspired by the book, Wonder. Have courage and be kind, Cinderella. Be somebody who makes everybody feel like a somebody, Jesse Jackson. And then this was just her own. Give thanks. Be thankful for what you have, not what others have. And I thought, oh, that's nice. I wish you really learned that because that's exactly what we struggle with. But just that to end that, really, and this is our last one, I don't think we can teach empathy, but we can inspire it. And I was like, you know, I'm not doing everything wrong if she can create that. And that's what I want you to know. When you feel like you're just a complete failure because your kid's being crazy, it's not you, but you are part of the solution. And whatever drives you crazy about your kid, you are driving them just as crazy with your personality because it's obviously not meshing with theirs. So just my biggest advice would be that just in the moment, try to listen and have those follow-up conversations. If you can take anything else away from here, it's how important the follow-up is. When I am at my worst, I never let the day go by without acknowledging it to the kids and talking about why I did it, why I think I did it, why I want to do it differently, and how can they help me by doing their job? Because no, other people can't make you angry, but other people can push your buttons, and that's provoking. And that's also something that we talk about is, well, it is provoking when you do that, and you know that's not the way. And then I have to identify when I'm provoking them as well. And so that was the biggest lesson I've learned from my therapy, because I'm a big therapist person, is that you have to be very self-aware. That's just really important. And the last thing I want to share is if you want to Google this, this is called a Big Life Journal. Big Brother, I tell you on these phones. I must Google a lot of self-help stuff because it came up in my Instagram feed and inspired me. So I bought it for Eileen for Christmas, and it's a growth mindset journal. This one's a little old. She's a third grader, but they have some for little kids, but their website's amazing. And so just Google Big Life Journal, and this is amazing. She picked her dad. I was like, I thought she picked me, but this one takes her through, you get a journal buddy, you pick, and I really hope she'd pick an adult, not in our family, but it's hard because she has to respond, but it's all these stories that she reads about being taken for granted, and do you have any special things? So every chapter, it gives her stuff to do, but they have lovely things on their website for growth mindset and just teaching your kids to be self-aware of their emotions and how their behavior affects each other in the family, society, their friends. And so it's getting them to take ownership. So she hasn't done a whole lot of work in it yet because she just got her Christmas, but I was really excited to give this to her. So I think that's all I have for y'all. I'm sorry I went so late, but thank y'all for coming. And if you have any questions or want any resources, let me know, and I'll share all my links with Dolores. That's it.
Great. Thank you, guys.